All right, so we have looked into some things that we can do for caregivers, helping you take some steps that can help you in life. And as a result, maybe help you let some of life's best moments continue to come through you as you provide the care for the one you love. Let's take a look at some more health matters now. We'll focus primarily on the body now. Let's look into bladder infections, and then, let's take a look at knowing the numbers. You know, those numbers. Cholesterol and things like that. First up, though, bladder infections. Got to stay healthy. You'll hear more about why. Think kidneys.
Emory urologist Neil Galloway is a busy man.
So this is the urinary bladder here.
That's because urinary tract infections, known as UTIs, are responsible for more than 7 million doctor visits each year. UTIs happen when germs back up into the bladder through the urethra, the opening where urine comes out. Left untreated, UTIs can lead to infection of the kidneys and worse.
An infection within the kidney can cause kidney damage. It can lead to stone formation. It can lead to abscess.
The American Urological Association says some 40% of women and 12% of men will experience at least one symptomatic UTI during their lifetime, and many will continue to have them. Women are especially prone to UTIs due to pregnancy, menopause, the use of birth control methods like diaphragms and condoms, not to mention basic anatomy.
Urethras are like noses. Some people have long ones and some people have short ones. And the patients who are more prone to infection oftentimes have a shorter urethra.
So are some of us just doomed to have those painful burning feelings? Not at all, says Dr. Galloway. You just need to learn how to prevent them.
You put the fire out in the bladder by putting water on the fire, by drinking water. The other thing that you actively want to do is you want to actively empty your bladder. And many patients with a urinary tract infection say, it burnt the last time, so I'm going to hold and hold and hold. And that effectively is locking and trapping these germs in the bladder so that they can cause you more problems.
So drink, 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 but not alcohol.
Alcohol in the bladder is like gasoline on the embers of infection.
That's not the only thing that feeds those pesky organisms. So can sugary foods and fruits. The key is to keep your urine acidic. Many recommend unsweetened cranberry or blueberry juice. It's believed the acid in the juice bonds with bacteria and keeps them from attaching to bladder walls. Dr. Galloway recommends vitamin C tablets, 1,000 milligrams.
If you take that with your evening meal, then what that will do is effectively acidify your urine in the nighttime hours, which is the time when the germs have the greatest advantage.
More tips. Wear skirts, absolutely no tight pants, and be careful of sanitary pads.
To wear a pad that is a menstrual product is never a good idea unless you're actively menstruating.
And if you're one of the unlucky women whose UTIs are triggered by sexual intercourse,
the best time for sexual intercourse is first thing in the morning. And then you have 2 glasses of water, and then you go to work, and you have 2 more glasses of water for an interval of about 6 hours. And by that time, the risk has passed.
For WebMD, I'm Sandy Lamott.
Wow, what did you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? Yeah, we need to know about each other's health care, too. Wow. Sex, best in the morning, because you can follow it up with all that water throughout the rest of the day. How about that Super C complex, the vitamin C, at night, well, with dinner, and then let it do its thing throughout the night? Well, some pretty simple steps. What do you think? Will it work for you? Okay. Let's hear about these numbers. Those numbers I was telling you about. The only one that I mentioned specifically was cholesterol, but let's let WebMD break it down a little bit more.
Every woman should know whether or not her serum lipids are within a healthy range. That means a cholesterol, total cholesterol below 200, triglycerides below 150, and very important, an HDL level above 40 at the very least, and an LDL level now we would like to see below 100. So it's 200, 150, 40 or above, and finally LDL levels below 100. Those seem to be good values for starting out. And if those lipids are not within that range, then a woman should ask her physician how she can make them healthier, either due to medications, dietary changes, or exercise, or weight loss, or all of the above. The second thing she should know is whether her body mass index, which is the ratio between her height and her body weight, is optimal for health. And around 21, which is the ideal body mass, she can be pretty sure she doesn't have a risk from weight, at least, for coronary artery disease. Once she has established good nutrition, an exercise regime that she can do at least 3 or 4 days a week, even if it's only walking a few miles a day, and knows that her serum lipids are where they should be, she's pretty well prepared to go to the physician and maintain these healthy lifestyles. If she smokes, she should stop at once. There is no such thing as one cigarette a day not hurting you. A cigarette reduces coronary blood flow by 20%. Nobody wants to see that, one cigarette. And nothing irritates me more than the doctor who says to the patient, one cigarette a day won't hurt you. Women are more deeply addicted to nicotine. They are much more likely to develop lung cancer as a result of smoking than are men. And it is probably the most significant personal lifestyle factor, which is a risk factor for coronary disease. And there is no excuse for smoking.
All right, you heard her. No excuse for smoking. So let's do what we can, ladies and gentlemen, to do our best to take good care of ourselves. Till next time.